unwell, those that are recovering in hospital from surgery, those that are in rehabilitation centers, Lord, we pray that you would touch them. You know their names, Lord, that you would touch them and heal them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for the ministry here at Grace Point. Lord, we know that there is nothing that we can do in our own strength, but all is from you and for your glory. So we pray, Lord, that you would build your church, that you would grow your church. Lord, that you would draw people unto yourself, draw them to the cross as we lift the name of Jesus high here in this place in South Kansas City. And so, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And even right now, as we worship you with the giving of our tithes and offerings, and Lord, we realize and recognize that everything that we have belongs to you. Nothing is ours. You have blessed us with so much. And so, Lord, we give back to you now a small portion. We pray that you would use it, multiply it, and use it for the building of your kingdom, for your glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dan. I know you were somewhat instrumental in that. Thank you, guys. Children, you're now released to go to children's worship. Good morning, everybody, again. It's good to be back. We took a break last week, and as a family, it was such a blessing. We went camping up in the north shore of Lake Superior, and it was beautiful, and we came back feeling cooler and refreshed. And so if it was that cool up in that area this time of the year, I'd hate to be there in January, February, but it was wonderful. This morning we're going to start a series on Joshua, and I have looked forward to this for some time, and I'm really excited about it. Joshua is my favorite Old Testament Bible character, and someone that I've always been fascinated by, and hence the reason we have a son named Joshua. Joshua is an amazing character, and I want to share a little bit of that with you the next 5 weeks. But I'm not going to be preaching on the book of Joshua today. Today I'm going to start by looking at where Joshua is mentioned prior to the book of Joshua and his preparation, his build-up to the actual book of Joshua, where we read Joshua leads the children of Israel into the promised land across the River Jordan. And predominantly, I'm going to be focusing on the book of Exodus and Numbers, and we're going to jump around as to different snippets and different snapshots that we see of Joshua in those two books. But today the reading is taken from Exodus 33, verse 7 to 11. And if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to that. Exodus 33, verse 7 to 11. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Let us pray before we begin. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we can learn from characters and people that lived so many thousand years ago and are still relevant to us today. And I pray, Lord, that as we speak about Joshua, as we look into his life and look into the preparation that you had for him, for his ministry and his time, Lord, that you would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that it would not be words that are just thought up by man, but Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know Joshua. He was the man that became the successor to the great leader, Moses. And Joshua was probably where he was born in Egypt as a slave and was one of the children of Israel that left in the great Exodus out of Egypt. And at that time, he was probably 40 years old. And the Bible constantly refers to him at that time as being young, Moses' young aide. And so I still feel young, and so 40 is really young. It's a good age. The Bible constantly refers to Joshua being young, so I feel really good about that. But, you know, we can learn so much from his life. He wasn't just, the man that took over from Moses. He was a different kind of leader for a different season. He was someone that God had prepared for a particular task, for a particular job that he had to do, that only he could do, and God had raised him up. And we're going to see today the characteristics of his life that God had put into him to prepare him to lead the children of Israel through the next phase of what they would go into the promised land, the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all before him, leading up to Joshua being able to take the children of Israel into that. And you know, as the beginning of this series, I want to challenge you. What is God preparing you for? What are you being prepared for today? What is your preparation? Now, for those of you who are in college or in school or going through some kind of classes, you can understand, well, that's what I'm being prepared for. I've got a goal, I'm going to graduate, and that's what I'm going to do. But many of you are not currently attending anything that could be a secondary education or a primary education or any kind of education that leads towards a goal. So you say, well, what am I being prepared? Am I being prepared? And my challenge to you is yes, you are being prepared. Every one of us is being prepared today for tomorrow. Because whatever God allows us to go through today, he will use in our tomorrows. God's not done with any of you yet. If you're here and you're breathing and God has blessed you with breath to breathe and blood flowing through your body, he has a tomorrow for you that he's preparing you for today. And so Joshua was being prepared. He became one of the greatest warriors and leaders in the Bible. And so it doesn't matter what, you know, a lot of the tasks and a lot of the things that he was doing looked insignificant, but they were all part of the preparation. So let's begin by looking at the life of this character. Joshua, as we know from the Bible, is the son of Nun. And that doesn't sound a very promising or very exciting name, but N-U-N. And they were of the tribe of Ephraim. Now, you may not know that tribe or know the tribes of the children of Israel, but Ephraim and Manasseh were the two children of Joseph. Now remember, Joseph, go back to the dreamer, Joseph, that story, and how his brothers tried to kill him and ended up becoming a slave in Egypt. That's how the children of Israel ended up in Egypt. But he had two sons in Egypt, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when Jacob, Joseph's dad, met them before he died, he said, "Bring them to me, I want to bless them." And he adopted them as his sons. So they both became heads of the tribes of the children of Israel. So they were adopted. They were adopted as tribes or as sons of Jacob. And then the strange thing happened, you may remember, is that when Jacob said, "Let me bless them," he started blessing Ephraim. And Joseph said, no, he's the younger one. And Jacob said, "No, I'm going to bless him first." So he blessed the younger one first, which was very significant. Ephraim became an adopted, blessed nation or tribe. And it's interesting that adoption runs throughout the Bible. There's pictures, there's pieces. If we look at it, adoption runs throughout the Bible. Why is this? Why does God choose to adopt? Well, you and me, are adopted into God's family, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, you and I are adopted into the family of God. We're not born into the family of God, we're adopted. We're Gentiles. We're adopted into the kingdom. And it's wonderful. So we see here that Ephraim, or which Joshua was, the tribe of Ephraim, was actually an adopted people. So it's significant again. And then Joshua as well himself is a type of Christ. Not only is his name, which we'll look at later, but he portrays for us in the Old Testament Jesus in the New Testament, taking a people through to salvation. And we'll look at that a little bit later. He is a type of Christ. But we see Joshua mentioned in several occasions, as I mentioned, in Exodus and Numbers. So the first one I want to look at is Exodus 17. And in Exodus 17, we have a very interesting account. It's a fascinating story that the children of Israel were camped at Rephidim. And I'm going to try and work my way through all these names. And the Amalekites came and attacked them. And they just randomly came and attacked the children of Israel, the Amalekites. And so Moses said to Joshua, he picked him up, he said, go and get some men and go and fight the Amalekites. We don't hear a response from Joshua, we just hear he went and did it. He got some men, put together an army, they got swords, and they went and fought the Amalekites. Here's where the story gets interesting. So Moses goes on top of the mountain, on top of the hill, and he holds up the staff of God. And as he keeps it held up, Joshua and the army are winning the battle. And as he gets tired and his arms weaken and lower, they start losing the battle. And so Aaron and, let's see, the other guys who was with Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, helped him hold up his arms. So they held up Moses' arms, and as he kept his arms up, Joshua and the soldiers kept winning the battle against the Amalekites. And then Moses got even more tired, and so they pushed a stone under him so he could sit down. This went on all day. The battle raged all day until sunset. And this wasn't just a little skirmish, you know, that goes on for a few minutes or throwing stones at each other. It was a war. It was a vicious battle. But in verse 13 Exodus 17, verse 13, we read, Joshua overcame the Amalekites with the sword. It was hand-to-hand combat. Joshua was involved. Joshua was in there. He was waving the sword around. No doubt there were casualties. People died. It cost a lot of lives. But in verse 14, we read something very interesting. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure Joshua hears it. Make sure Joshua knows what happened here today. Because Joshua was in the midst of the battle. Joshua was fighting. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know about the staff of God. He knew he was fighting. So if Joshua had any inkling or any thought that maybe in his own strength he had won this war, that was put to rest when he read the account that Moses wrote down. When he heard and he found out, God won the victory that day. So Joshua had lesson number one. He put a little seed in the back of his mind. Oh, if I go to war, God's going to win the battle. God's going to win the fight for me. So the first character trait, though, we learn is Joshua's obedience. When Moses came to him and said, you've got to go and fight the Amalekites, he didn't say, go pick someone else. Or, how can I get out of this? Is there someone else maybe? I'm not equipped as a soldier. No, Joshua obeyed. He went and just went and did what he was asked to do. It may have cost him his life. I'm sure he thought about that. I'm sure he thought, well, we may all die here today. But he obeyed. He was obedient. The next time we see Joshua briefly, we have a reference to him in Numbers chapter 11. And this is an interesting one. Again, it's just a snippet. But we have the Spirit of the Lord comes on 70 of the elders of the children of Israel. And they come to the tent, which is the tabernacle, and they start prophesying as the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord falls on them. They start prophesying. And this is only for a short time, and then they stop, the Bible says in Numbers 11. But then we have two other of the elders that didn't come to the tent of meeting, that stayed in the camp, and they started prophesying in amongst the camp, in amongst the children of Israel. Now, it sounds like nothing to us. I guess that's what they did. Well, it created some consternation. These guys just started speaking and prophesying and declaring the word of the Lord. And so Joshua, as Moses' aide, thought, this is not good. I need to protect order. I need to protect civility. I don't want Moses' name to be dragged through the mud yet. I don't want Moses to get a bad name through this. So Joshua goes to Moses. And in verse 28, we read, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. So Joshua, he was zealous for Moses. He was zealous so that Moses' name wouldn't be slandered, that no ill repute or anything bad could be attributed to Moses. But Moses gently rebukes him and says, it's okay. God's in control, and allows it to go on. But we see through this, we see a little snippet of Joshua's character. We see that he is more interested in the character of Moses being kept. He is selfless. He's committed. He doesn't have any ambition of his own. He has served Moses since he was a youth, since a young boy. He's served Moses, and his sole goal, his aim, his ambition is to see that Moses' name is kept free from any slander. Today, as Christians, that needs to be our ambition as well. That needs to be our ambition, that the name of Jesus is kept, is lifted high, is kept free from any false teaching. Our ambition should never be for ourselves. It should never be to say, well, what can I get out of this? Oh, I'd like to start a ministry. I'd like to make a big name for myself. No, we need to be serving Jesus and making much of his name. That's our ambition. Lift him up in all we do. But then in Exodus 24, we see Joshua again. He is in a key position. And this is again a pivotal time in the children of Israel, in all of history, actually. God calls Moses to the top of Mount Sinai to give him the law in Exodus 24. And we read earlier in the chapter that Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders all stood at the base of the mountain, and God came and met them. And they ate and they drank, and they met in the presence of God. God protected them from his presence, otherwise they would have all been killed. But a fascinating time where God met with the elders of Israel. What a sight that must have been. But then the Lord called Moses and said, you come up the mountain. I want to speak to you. Yeah, we see a little bit of the character of Moses. The courage it must have taken to leave everybody and say, okay, I'll come up the mountain. So Moses leaves and goes up the mountain. But we read in verse 13, then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide. He went with Joshua. He said, Joshua, you come with me. Let's go up the mountain. And Moses went up on the mountain. Now, evidently, we believe that Joshua didn't go all the way to the top of the mountain with Moses. Moses went alone to the very top and stayed there and met with God. That's where he got the stone tablets. He got the law. He got the instruction that God was going to give to the children of Israel for their future. Moses didn't just go up and down the mountain. He went up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Joshua, we assume, was somewhere up the mountain, halfway up, three-quarters of the way up. He was on the mountain, all alone, for 40 days and 40 nights. The mountain was covered by a dark cloud. Joshua sat and waited for 40 days and 40 nights, all alone. That took faith. The children of Israel were being tested at the same time because they were down in the camp below the mountain and they failed the test. You'll remember how after some days they said to Aaron, Moses is dead. He's not coming back. Remember that? Moses died. He didn't make it. So why don't you make for us some gods out of gold? They gave Aaron a whole bunch of gold, and he formed for them this golden calf, and they began worshiping that. The children of Israel failed miserably. Now we look at that and we say, well, how could they do that? They had just seen the presence of God. They had just seen the mountain tremble. They had seen the elders meet with God. And now, 20, 30, maybe 35 days later, they were making for themselves an idol. But we're not much different. We are not much different than that. God provides for us today, and tomorrow we worry again. God heals us today, or we see a healing. We pray for someone to be healed, and we praise God. It's amazing. They got healed. They're up and they're walking. A year later, we're saying, God couldn't do that. And we start trying to figure out things ourselves. We start trying to make solutions for ourselves and figure out and do the work of God. We're not much different. But Joshua passed the test. Joshua waited for Moses. And when Moses came back down and he met with Joshua and they heard the craziness going on down in the camp, Joshua actually put a positive spin on it. He didn't immediately jump to the negative. But Moses knew what was going on. So we see Joshua was a man of faith. He trusted God. No matter what the circumstances looked like, it was a dark, clouded mountain in the middle of nowhere, and Joshua had faith. Moses is going to come back. He trusted. The next time we see Joshua is in Exodus chapter 33, and this is the account that we read today together, the tent of meeting. So Moses has set up this tent. It wasn't the tent of the tabernacle. It was a smaller tent that Moses had set up just as a prayer room, a place of meeting, a place to where the children of Israel could go and pray and meet with God and ask God and share their concerns. And every time Moses would go into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and Moses would speak with God. What a sight that must have been. How incredible that must have been. And hence, all the children of Israel stood at the entrances of their tent and they worshiped God when they saw this taking place. So this tent of meeting was a special place. But the fascinating snippet we read in verse 11, then Moses would return to the camp. So he would go and he'd pray and then he would return to the camp. He'd go back. But Joshua stayed in the tent. Joshua stayed in the presence of God. He didn't say, well, Moses is gone, I'm going to go back. No, he knew where he needed to be. Joshua was a man of prayer. He was a man that trusted the Lord. He had faith. He was obedient, but he was also a man of prayer. We can learn so much from that. Such a lesson. You know, it's good to be in a place of corporate prayer. It's good to come and worship the Lord here. But it is absolutely crucial and vital that you have your own time of prayer with the Lord. You spend time alone with God. You read your word, but you pray. You journal. You write down, what is God saying to you? Develop a relationship with the creator of the universe. That is what is our privilege. We can do that. We can have a relationship with God. You need to be developing that in your own personal life, your own personal walk. There's no such thing as secondhand Christianity. It's between you and God. Remember 2 weeks ago, spoke about the judgment seat. God's going to ask you, what did you do with what you knew? He's not going to say, how many times did you go to prayer meeting? He's not going to say, how many times did you attend church? He's going to say, what did you do with the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? So I want to encourage you, develop your own personal prayer life. Find your own prayer time, your own prayer room. It takes effort. It costs. It's a discipline. But Joshua knew the importance of that, and I believe wholeheartedly it is the lifeblood of every Christian. You absolutely have to spend time in prayer personally. It sometimes requires you to change your schedule. It sometimes requires you to put off things, but it's vital. And we see Joshua again in Numbers 13. And we know this story very well when Moses sent out the 12 spies, one representative from each of the tribes of the children of Israel. And he sent out the spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, to see how they could go and conquer the land. Because the Lord had promised them the land. So they had just came from Egypt, and they were ready to cross into the land, into the promised land. And so they got together, these 12 spies, one representative from each of the tribes, and they said, go, tell us what you find. So they went in for 40 days, again, 40 days. They went in and spied out the land and brought back some of the supplies. And they came back with great reports. They said, it's beautiful, the land flowing of milk and honey. It's a beautiful land, but it has giants. There are terrible people there. They will kill us. They are scary people. There's dangerous things over there. It's a wonderful land, but they have giants. We couldn't do anything about that. We may as well just. And in fact, they said, they said to Moses, give us a captain and someone who will take us back to Egypt, because we cannot go into that land. But that was 10 of the spies, you'll remember. There were two other spies, Joshua and Caleb, who said, no, the Lord has given us the land. We can do it. Let's go now. Let's go and conquer the land. We can do it. And here was Joshua, a young man again, in his 40s, and he was saying, we can do it. Now remember, he was from the tribe of Ephraim, and he was probably one of the lesser recognized tribal leaders. He wasn't one of the elders. And he was standing up against these other 10 tribal leaders out of these 10 spies and saying, no, we can do this. That took courage. That took courage. He had a strength of character. We also read from this, though, that at this time in Numbers 13 and verse 16, his name was changed. You may not notice that. His name wasn't always Joshua. His name was Hoshua or Oshua. And Moses, in verse 16 of Numbers 13, changes his name to Joshua. He adds in the name of Jehovah to his name and calls him Joshua. Now, this is very significant because Oshua means the one who saves. Joshua means the Lord saves. Very significant. And Joshua, Jesus is actually the Greek form of Joshua. And Jesus is our Savior, the one who saves. But the Lord saves is the name of Joshua, so it's changed to. And his identity was changed. Because Joshua adopted his new name. People, every time they called him, said, the Lord saves. And they would remember, oh yes, Joshua fought the Amalekites, but the Lord won the victory. So yeah, it's really significant. His name changes. He has the courage to stand up against the other 10 spies and say, no, we can do this, because he knows the Lord is the one who saves. And that's the same for each and every one of us today. We cannot do things in our own strength. We need the Lord to do it for us. We need the Holy Spirit within us, and we have the Holy Spirit within us to do the impossible. We don't have to fear. And as Christians today, it is absolutely vital we know who is for us. Remember, I share that. You and God is a majority. Even if it's only you and God, it is a majority, because God is all-powerful. The Lord has given you the land. We dare not say to God, it's impossible, when the Lord says, go, I've given you the land. And we say, no, it's impossible. We don't have the finances. We don't have the means. We don't have the people. It's impossible. The Lord says, I've given you the land. Go, do, be obedient. Be courageous. We'll talk about that next week. But Joshua displayed courage. And then the final reference we have of Joshua is in Numbers 23, where the Lord tells Moses to lay his hands on him and commission him. Commission him as the next leader. That was the final step in his preparation. It was in front of all of the people to dedicate, commission, to send him and say, you are the leader that will take Israel, that will take the, the children of Israel into the promised land. We'll look at more about that in next week. I want to focus on that next week as the commissioning of Joshua. But so we see here, we see five brief snippets of the characteristics of this man of God. Just five brief little pictures, snippets of this man Joshua throughout Numbers and Exodus. The first one is obedience. He took up the sword and he defeated the Amalekites. He was obedient. He didn't question. He just stepped forward in obedience. The next one, he was selfless. When Moses potentially was going to run into some trouble with the two elders that were prophesying in the camp and creating some disruption, Joshua stepped up selflessly. He says, I don't care about my name, but Moses, your name. That's a characteristic that Joshua showed. Then was faith. Joshua sat alone on the mountain for 40 days, trusting God that Moses would come back. Joshua was a man of prayer. He'd pray in the tent of meeting. He would stay behind in the tent of meeting because he knew that's where he needed to be. He was developing his relationship with God. That's what happens when you're in the tent of meeting, when you're in that place of prayer, developing a relationship with God. And then Joshua was a man of courage. It took courage to stand against those other spies. He didn't hold back. It's very easy nowadays when 100 people are saying one thing and 2 are saying the other, but you know that the 2 are believing what the word of the Lord says. It takes courage to stand by the word of God, and that's what Joshua did. But you know, this is not just a story. This is not just make-believe. This really happened thousands of years ago, and it does apply to us today. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. It applies to us today. God allowed it to be in His Word to speak to us here and now today. What is God preparing you for? What is God calling you to do for Him? What is happening in your life today that is preparing you for tomorrow? The characteristics that Joshua had in his life need to be characteristics in your life and my life. We all need these. And I'll go on to say that it's impossible. But these need to be characteristics in our life, and I'll explain to you why it's impossible. Firstly, we need to be obedient. When God calls us to do something, we don't look over our shoulder and say, well, what about him? He's much better prepared. Oh, no, what about her? She's smarter. She could do the job. Now, if God calls you, He's calling you because He knows you are the one who can do the job. We need to be selfless. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. We need to be selfless. We need to die to ourselves and live for Christ, what He's calling us to do. Make much of the name of Jesus. We need to live a lifestyle of faith. Grow in faith. Faith is, as we shared earlier in the year, faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the more it grows. Faith is a blessing. It's a gift from God. When God is silent for 4 days and you've asked Him for something, maybe He's silent for 40 days, maybe He's silent for 100 days, carry on in faith, trusting God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Prayer. Develop a lifestyle of prayer. You cannot attempt to walk the Christian life without a time of prayer every day. Spend time in prayer with the Lord. It is your lifeblood, the most important activity of your day. You say, well, I don't have time. You cannot afford not to make time. It is the most important activity of your day. Courage. As Christians in this day and age, we need to be courageous, to stand up for what is right, to stand against the oppressed or the oppressors, stand up for the oppressed, to stand up for what is right. It takes courage. Now more than ever before, it's going to take courage to be a Christian, to make a stand. But as I said, these five characteristics are impossible to do in your own strength. You need a name change. Remember, Joshua had a name change. You need a name change. The name change is when you become a Christian, when you make that life-altering decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, when you say yes to Jesus and you say, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ. Allow him to live through you. And these characteristics will be part of your life because the Holy Spirit will come on you. You'll be filled with the presence of the Almighty God. Then it will be easy to be obedient, selfless, to be a person of faith, to be a person of prayer, to be a person of courage. Because you'll have the Holy Spirit helping you, your comforter, your guide, your counselor, to take you through that. So you need a name change. We all need a name change. Those of us that accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior years ago have come to know what it is to have that new name, to be known as a follower of Jesus, to be known as a Christian. If you haven't had a name change, today is a great time to do that. And I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can experience that life of adventure, that life of purpose. Not just living day to day, trying to make some extra money or some short-term goals, maybe trying to buy a boat or get that corner office. No, what I'm talking about is goals that are eternal, rewards in heaven, eternal goals, living your life with a purpose that goes beyond today. But maybe you today, you're here and you say, well, I've walked this Christian life for many years and I'm tired and, you know, I don't think God's preparing me for anything. Yes, he is. As I said in the beginning of the message, if you have breath today, God is preparing you. There is always a tomorrow. What is he preparing you for? And I'd love to pray with you today to maybe rededicate your life to serving the Lord. Rededicate your life to saying, yes, I will be a Joshua. I will obey you. Maybe you want to dedicate your life more fully to a time of prayer every day. And you just want to come up front here and pray and ask the Lord to help you in that process. Every one of these things is possible because God wants them for your life. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us in them. So I invite you all today to, you know, we want to do a time of ministry here after the service. I invite you to come forward. If you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and begin this adventure, begin this lifestyle, I'd love to pray with you. But if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord and rededicate your life to a life of prayer, courage, standing up for what is right, today is the day. I'd love to pray with you. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for the life of Joshua, a man filled with courage, a man who made less of himself and said, I'm going to live for others. I'm going to live for the Lord. But he was also a man that was completely abandoned to his own agenda. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to live like that today. You would give us the courage to walk that out. What it is to walk in a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of obedience, and a lifestyle of faith. So I pray as we sing together now, Lord, you would speak to us, convict us, and touch us and move in our midst, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing?
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow with sea. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Let us pray. Lord, as we go out of this place, we thank you, Lord, that we don't go in our own strength. We thank you, Lord, that we cannot do anything in our own strength that is of value, that is of purpose for you. But Lord, we cry out to you. Fill us now. Bless us now. Give us wisdom for this day and for the days that lie ahead. But Lord, may we see that everything that you put us through, everything that we go through in life is a preparation for tomorrow. And so, Lord, as we are being prepared to be your servants, I pray, Lord, that we would look for opportunities, even this week, look for opportunities to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with those around us, to live for Jesus, to make much of the name of Jesus wherever we go. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.